Hello everybody, Fiona and Marlene here from Scottish Independence Podcasts. Today we are talking with Gordon McIntyre Kemp about the Believe in Scotland march that's coming up. And Marlene, on behalf of Pensioners for Indy this time.
I'm on it, but I'm speaking from the point of being a Pensioner for Independence member. Usually I'm here asking the questions, but not today.
So you're being interviewed for a change.
Pensioners for Independence is one of the groups that's part and parcel of Believe in Scotland. So is Scottish Independence Podcast. You know, it's something that we're involved in. I mean, you and I have been to the marches and done videos and interviewed people. So this is just another way of getting involved and helping promote the one that's coming up next month in Glasgow. And as it happens, I'm involved in both ways rather than just the usual one way.
Okay, let's welcome Gordon in. First and most important thing that we're here to talk about is the rally, the march and rally that's coming up in Glasgow on the 20th of April. So tell us a bit more about that. What do people need to know?
Right. So, the march and rally in particular, it's part of a whole weekend of activities, but the march and rally starts on Kelvin Way, which is the road that goes, sort of pedestrianised road that goes along by Kelvin Grove Park up to the university. So we're asking everyone to gather there from 11:30, 11:45, etc., and the march will start at 12:30. It then goes through the town in the usual routes, because there's a set agreed routes for these sort of marches, and we are finishing the march and having the rally in George Square, which obviously is really good for transport, Queen Street Station, etc., and pubs and things afterwards, and places to eat and shop as well.
Yeah. And actually, you know, for given that it's Believe in Scotland in conjunction with Pensioners for Indy, if we've got older people who are coming and they just go, oh, I don't know if I can do the march, that's fine. Just go straight to George Square, you know, just across the road from Queen Street, and great for public transport. Mm-hmm. So it's really good that you managed to get that organised.
And George Square is great, I think, for stalls and things. So are you having stalls?
Yep. Absolutely. There's going to be, you know, a handful of stalls, not a huge sort of marketplace type of thing, but there'll be a handful of stalls there, the usuals, and Believe in Scotland and Pensioners for Indy will have stalls as well.
Yep.
So brilliant. I hope the Yes Stones are going to be there. They're always one of my favourites, the Yes Slates.
They were in Edinburgh, so I'm assuming they're coming to Glasgow, but yep. I don't know for sure.
I'm sure they will. Yeah, I'm pals with them. I'll make sure they come.
Okay. No, you're running the Yes Stone stall.
I might be. I'm often on the Slate stall.
Yeah, it's called Yes Movement Multitasking, isn't it? Kind of different groups come to the fore at different times. Yeah.
Sometimes we're filming it as well, so it's quite... You had a great spread in the National, actually, at the weekend, didn't you? And I loved this idea of a festival of independence. Tell us about your thinking about that.
Yeah, well, basically over Christmas, I took a few weeks just to really concentrate on trying to figure why things are stalling, why we're not pushing forward at the rate that we all want to be. You know, nobody is more frustrated than I am about the speed towards independence. We've got obstacles in the way, but there's got to be ways around those obstacles. So we looked around the world to try and actually understand who has managed not just independence campaigns, but other big social cultural changes from the pro-choice referendum in Ireland, which was a surprise to me. It seemed to be against the standard thinking on where they would go on that. Independence campaigns around the world, etc. One of the things is that we found is that there's actually really not an awful lot of research done by academics or funded by governments on how to undo the institutions of state. For some strange reason, they don't run that sort of
research.
So we had to look into it. What we found is that in almost every successful major cultural change movement, there was music. They weren't led by politicians, that they were led by poets and playwrights and singers and actors. And you know, talk about Estonia. You know, it's called the singing revolution for a reason. And if you look at Vaclav Havel, who is probably the most advanced thinker on how to remove your country from a restrictive state organization, he wrote a lot of papers, which basically helped unravel the Iron Curtain. He was a playwright, And so basically, you know, we said, well, one of the things that I really liked about the first campaign was National Collective. And so we're working with some of the guys from National Collective, and we've spoken to a lot of musicians and actors and comedians, etc., singers, poets, and we're being overwhelmed by people saying, yeah, make the campaign more interesting, make it more fun, and more people will come along. So instead of a political protest, a march and rally and protest and talking politics, we're going to go there and we're going to celebrate what we believe to be Scotland's potential. And there's going to be more music in the march itself, in the body of the march. There's going to be some songs and performances and readings from the stage. Then we're doing an after party, and we've got Iona Fife, the Scottish Trad Singer of the Year, singing at that, and there'll be other people as well. And then on the Sunday, the day afterwards, we will have a mass day of action in Glasgow Southside. So the after party is at the committee rooms. That's for all the volunteer stewards, etc., for donors, but there'll be about 50, 60 tickets on sale as well for that.
The very successful march that you did in Edinburgh in the summer, mm-hmm. which we were on again, we did the march. Normally we just filmed it, but that one we walked and filmed. That had a fantastic atmosphere. It was really family friendly and positive, I thought. And that was, of course, with Yes for EU. So I like this idea of you partnering up with particular causes. So what made you think that Pensioners for Indy were the next partner on the list?
Well, yeah, it's a good question, but basically there's lots of organisations that are out there working hard, and I don't think anyone works harder than Glasgow Pensioners for Indy, putting that stall up in Buchanan Street time after time after time. They're there in all weathers, all around the year, etc. And the other thing is that pensioners are a group that the independence movement needs to engage. And rather than, like I say, do a protest, what we want to do is actually have a positive plan, a positive discussion about an element of independence. And I think that being able to say that independence will eradicate pensioner poverty in Scotland is a great message. And, you know, as an organization, we're not, you know, people see Believe in Scotland, and I know a lot of people see Believe in Scotland and they think of me, but it's 142 organisations who have elected a group of about 30-odd representatives who meet monthly and in subgroups every week multiple times to run the organisation. It's literally hundreds of people. And so, you know, as a network of Yes campaigners, we're going to partner with Yes campaigners to put on events. And it's as simple as that.
It maybe brings the focus as well, because the Yes for EU, obviously the European dimension, and Pensioners for Indy, the pension is the obvious element. I'll bring you in maybe, Marlene, at this point.
Just going back to the point about that Gordon was making about, you know, having music and culture and more of a festival kind of. When I first heard you talking about that, and I've heard other folk saying the same thing, I mean, you know, Leslie Riddick does herself. I lived down in England for a bit in the early 2000s, and it always sort of struck me how many people would say, oh, you Scots, I mean, you're so lucky. I mean, you've got all that music and you've got that cultural background and there's poets and authors. Sometimes made me think maybe it's quite easy to take that, if you're Scottish, to take it a bit for granted, actually. I mean, it's part and parcel of me. New Year, when I was growing up, everyone, the cordain was out, the fiddles were out, folk were singing. It was just part and parcel of how you did it. So I think it's a brilliant idea. So I'll just tell you a wee bit about Pensioners for Indy then. I mean, the whole thing was set up actually before the referendum, during the campaign for the 2014 referendum. It was set up by a chap called Peter Swain in the Lothians. It's non-party political, was then, still is. That's quite an important part of it. But then after the referendum, it sort of died, like maybe a lot of other groups, died down, but was inactive for some time. And then Brexit happens and things started to get going again. And around, you know, the Edinburgh group got going again. There was a Greater Glasgow group set up. There was a chap up in Aberdeen who got things going. And by about 2017, it became obvious it would be quite good if some of us from those three groups met up from time to time. So a national kind of coordinating group started. it was about that time that I got involved in the Glasgow group. At the time, we met in the basement of the Yes Bar, Glasgow Yes Bar. Yeah, we'd sit there with our pints and, you know, have long discussions about how we were going to persuade pensioners to vote yes. So the National Coordination Group, it's basically runs the website, it runs the mailing list, it helps new groups get going, can give them a bit of financial help to get going, and designed and produced leaflets. Now, I'll just say that part of what or helped to make that possible was a grant that we got from SIF, from Scottish Independence Foundation. So that's the National Coordination Group. And then gradually more groups started up. So Fife, Perth, Mulgay, Dumfries and Galway, Ayr, Selkirk, and, you know, and some of them have come and gone, but at the moment there's about six or seven groups that are active. If they're not quite out on the streets yet, I think that'll be happening quite soon. And during the pandemic, of course, we all switched to online meetings. So that meant then we had people coming from all over Scotland into the meetings, I mean, and from other Yes groups as well. And then, you know, we did podcasts from the talks from invited speakers, and there's a series of podcasts that ended up on the website. So all of that, I think, helped just kind of get the momentum going again. So post-COVID, Glasgow and Mulgay are back out in the streets, like you said, God. There's stalls down in Argyle Street twice a week. There's one in Mulgay every other week. The Edinburgh group have started in-person meetings again. And, you know, it's just kind of, momentum's gathering. I mean, Glasgow is very active, and they go on the marches, they take their banners, they take the stall to the rallies. They went out to Rutherglen High Street when that by-election was on, just to talk to people about independence. So it's gathering momentum again. We do produce our own leaflet, but we also use Believe in Scotland leaflets a lot, and they go down really well. Partly because some of them don't even mention independence on them. There's one about pensions that didn't. And it's dead easy to give them out and have people go away with them. But actually, what I always appreciate, I mean, I don't do loads of stalls, but I do occasionally go up to Mulgay. And, you know, if you're giving out one of the Believe in Scotland leaflets, A, it's really well done. It's got all the sources in it. It's quite clear. And, you know, people will stand and look at it, and then that kind of instigates a real good conversation. So I've always really, really appreciated having them. Yeah, that's the kind of background. And like Gordon said, it's this generation that are not convinced about Scotland being independent. Still, two-thirds of us got doubts that would probably mean they'd vote no in another referendum. I mean, that's better than it was in 2014, or even more back then. But we know the kind of things that people were doubtful about at the time. We can start talking about that again, and that's one of the main focuses for us, to try and work out ways of doing that.
The leaflet that you were talking about there, Arlene, the wellbeing pension leaflet,
yeah,
it doesn't mention independence on it, because what we've found is that if you actually talk about the wellbeing pension, we're promoting that because it's a thing we want to see, because it will end pension or poverty. But there's no hope in heck of the Westminster government actually implementing a pension which isn't even a great pension. It's just enough to live on and no more. It's not even remotely close to the European average. We know that's not going to happen. So when people get that and they go, yeah, I really understand what you're saying, I'm totally open to having a conversation with you, but how do we make this happen?
Yeah.
They come to the conclusion themselves that we need to be independent to make it happen. And we say this is part of the independence campaign. And it's not trickery or anything like that. It's just, you know, in all honesty, it takes the politics out of it. And you said that the Pensioners for India are non-political. We are non-political party aligned as well. And that is absolutely important, because if people see the high-vis vests, the green high-vis vests, etc., they wander over to our stalls and the stalls that local groups are running throughout Scotland, and they say, are you SNP? And they go, no, we believe in Scotland. We're non-political party at all. And they go, oh, okay, so what are you saying? And it changes the dynamic of the conversation so much. And this idea of a festival will also change it more, because it brings Scottish culture into it. And if you feel Scottish, you're open to independence a lot more than if you feel British.
Totally. Yeah. And just, you, I've started to see some social media posts about the speakers. So can you tell us anything about who you've got lined up?
We've announced Hamza, Iona Fife, Pat Kane, yeah. I'll give you an exclusive here. Marlene and myself will both be speaking at the rally as well. So there you go. You've got an exclusive. But yeah, there's quite a few more to be announced, and we'll be also announcing who the bands are and other people that are taking part overall as well, sort of on the fringes of it, if you know what I mean.
I can't even start to think how you would start to organise something like this, and when you've got everything else that's going on as well. And I know that as well as Pensioners for India, Yes 2 are part of it, aren't they?
Well, we announced our march on a day that they were planning to have a march on, but they hadn't actually got everything signed off with the council in Edinburgh, and that's where we had not noticed the social media, but we'd noticed it was, and so my fault, I should have spoken to them. I take full blame for that. So basically, we had a good conversation on the phone, and we said, look, let's work together. They're going to march with us on April 20th, and they're going to have a march in Edinburgh in the summer. It doesn't clash with anything we're doing, so we're going to promote their march, and I'm going to go along to that. And, you know, we are willing to work with almost anybody right across the movement. There are going to be some people who won't want to work with us and, you know, all that sort of thing. But if you, in the political sphere, there are always, because politics happens, you know. And as far as we're concerned, we will speak to anyone, will reach out to anyone, and anyone wants to work with us and join us, we're more than happy to talk to them. And that's why we've managed to get to 142 groups working together. I mean, this is a massive collaboration of groups. We've got an online discussion forum and project management system, which I think is well over 60 people who are getting messages and planning things, and there's about 20 subgroups actually going away and talking about messaging, talking about local groups, talking about social media, etc., etc. And so, you know, literally, and we had 18 people in the office all day Saturday training to be stewards. Yeah. I mean, it's quite impressive. Literally, it's 120, 130 people are involved in organizing this. At least 60 multiple times a week are working on this project. And, you know, I guess we don't shout enough about that.
I know that how Leave in Scotland's kind of, you know, developed into being that sort of having all those groups involved and stakeholders, and it's really good to hear there's more and more folk coming forward to do things. Because Fiona and I were chatting the other week about just asking the question, well, you know, is it the case that, you know, yes groups are still a bit not quite in, well, certainly not in top gear, but, you know, needing to be kind of nudged into being more active again? I mean, one of the other groups I'm in, a local Glasgow one, isn't out on the street, used to be every Saturday. And I know it takes, you know, it doesn't need to be every Saturday, but it's not happening at all. But it strikes me that, you know, having something like Believe in Scotland set up the way that has emerged and evolved is bound to be helping that kind of, you know, just kind of nudge folk along and up the momentum.
Well, there are groups across Scotland that do very well, that are out all the time. You've got your, I think it's Yes Inverness, do the Bridges Walk once a month. You've got Pensioners for Indy out in Glasgow all the time, etc. But yeah, an awful lot of groups say they just can't get people out. It's, you know, and the thing I get an awful lot is, what's the point? There's no date, there's no referendum, etc., etc. And my view is that's the tail wagging the dog. What we've got to do is take it away from boring politics, discussions about policy, and actually have a real family-friendly atmosphere of people actually engaging and having conversations with people right across Scotland and talking from the heart. Not talking from the pamphlet that the party's given you, but from the heart as to what we want to achieve. And also asking them, what are your hopes and dreams for Scotland? Yeah. You know, and when you do that, people sort of go, oh, I've not really been asked that before. Mm. And it changes the dynamic of the conversation. And if they tell you their hopes and dreams for Scotland, then pretty quickly everybody realizes it ain't going to happen without independence. Yeah. And so, you know, that's, I think, quite an important change to the dynamic. But right across Scotland, we are being told that people are struggling to get people to deliver leaflets. Political parties are saying the same as well. And the word that keeps on getting used, and it's a word I love, because I love a lot of these Scots words, scunnered. But it's not helpful that people keep on saying, oh, I'm feeling scunnered, the movement's scunnered. It shouldn't be. The tail is wagging the dog. We've got to say, right, let's take to the streets. Let's leaflet. Let's march. let's work hard, let's put on ceilidhs and concerts and get a good atmosphere going. Let's actually work together and all come together and put the politics aside and come together and actually talk about independence with the undecided, because that's how you move things. Talking to ourselves on social media doesn't do any good whatsoever. Mm-hmm. In fact, we end up arguing. So if we can change all of that, then we make the waves. Because politicians don't make waves, they ride waves. And when I said that it's like playwrights and poets, etc., it's never been politicians that have led major change, never. Mm-hmm. Right? So for those people who say, oh, the SNP, I'm so fed up with the SNP not moving us forward, so I'm not marching, I'm not doing anything. What you're doing is you're giving power to the SNP. But if you march, and if you, and with us or anybody else, if you go to a man a stall, if you just say, right, I'm going to deliver leaflets to my street, right? Anything like that, then you're actually taking it away from the politicians and putting it in the hands of the people. And that's all that ever moves the polls in these situations.
Yeah. Just to follow on from that, Gordon, about, you know, making it fun and you know, bringing people along with it. So it was pre-COVID. So I think 2018, Mary McCabe, who, you know, Mary, and she's a stalwart for indie campaigning for decades, but certainly within Pensioners for Indie. And, you know, she got some of us together in the Glasgow group and said, look, let's make a little choir or a bit of a, you know, a musical kind of group, and we'll see if we can go into, you know, elderly residential homes or, you know, community housing for sheltered housing. So she had us along, so we'd meet in her house. I mean, it was fun. It was a bit chaotic, but it was fun. And we had some good singers. We had some decent, you know, musicians. I mean, I resurrected my fiddle out of its box and played a few tunes. And we got together a program, and we did it. We did it up in the community centre in off Maryhill Road. We did it in two or three residential, you know, sheltered housing places in the East End and one in the South Side. It was a little bit difficult to get in because, mm-hmm. you know, if the manager isn't very pro-indie, then that was a kind of a barrier to get around. Mary was very good at doing that and getting around. And then when you're in there, yeah, you know, people get a bit of entertainment before or after their lunch. And then you can sit and chat to people. And I was sitting chatting to this guy who happened to be a fiddle player as well. So we're talking about that. And he said, oh, you know, in here, I mean, I think I'm the only person in here who's pro-indie. In fact, I don't even tell them. And I was kind of going, well, I think you should kind of, you know, you could have a go and have a go at doing it. COVID came along and it, you know, it came to an end and we haven't resurrected it yet. But I just thought that was a brilliant idea, and it had a bit of an effect at any rate. So maybe it's something we should think about getting together again.
Absolutely. It was good for fundraising as well. And, you know, in terms of the sort of creatives for independence side of things that we're looking at, we've got this event also in Perth on the 30th. I think there might be one or two tickets left, but it's definitely going to sell out. And that is called Creating Scotland. And it's the test event, if you like, the soft launch of our sort of Creatives for Independence. And we've got a heck of a lineup. It's we've got Bruce Fumi, the comedian. We've got Sheena Wellington, the trad Hall of Fame singer who sang A Man's a Man to open the Scottish Parliament. We've got the Graham Brown Band and Friends.
Oh, I like them.
We've got a excerpt from a play called Alba by Jack Byrne and Jordan Hewitt. We've got the Yes Yes Band. We've got author Cathy McSporran doing a reading.
Oh, yeah.
And we've got Jim McIntosh, the poet laureate of St Johnson Football Club, doing a talk in Scots, because that's actually really important as well. And the reason that we're putting our culture to the fore is that for many, many years, Scottish culture and the Scottish language, or Scots language and Gaelic as well, even in the past, wearing tartan or owning a set of bagpipes was illegal. Why did they try to stop our culture? Because they know that the culture is really, really important, but we've never understood that. That's why you're getting Union Jacks everywhere in food, etc.
Yes.
Do you remember the new Balmoral used to be called the North British Hotel? Then they changed it to the NB because nobody liked it, and now it's the new Balmoral. You know, and so you can see that over the last 30 years, Scottish culture has come back to the fore. It has become very interesting. Celtic connections, etc. There's so much going on. We don't need to reinvent Scottish culture. We just need to say to cultural figures, come and join us.
Celebrate
and make it interesting. I'll be honest, politics bores me. I'm not in this to get any particular party elected. In fact, I think in an independent Scotland, maybe the Greens are the only party that's actually going to still exist. You know, because the SNP will break in two left and right, if it isn't already. And Scottish Labour, Lib Dems, Scottish Conservatives. Well, yes, there will be a right-wing Conservative Party, but I'm not campaigning for a political outcome. I'm campaigning for independence, because I know that with the powers of independence, we can make better decisions and make our country better and get people off this, a treadmill of depression that we seem to be on as a nation, when we should be one of the wealthiest, happiest, healthiest, fittest nations in the world.
Absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely. I was just watching a debate in the Senate, the Welsh Parliament, for a show we're doing, and First Minister's questions, it's fascinating because if you ask a question in Welsh, you get the answer in Welsh and they have a voiceover translation. If you ask it in English, you get the answer in English. And it just is so interchangeable, as they absolutely own their language. We should have that. But that's an aside. A new venture for Believe in Scotland. You've just started doing Days of Action. Is that what you're calling them? Local Days of Action?
Yeah, local Days of Action. We've done multiple national Days of Action, where I think the biggest one we did was about 112 yes groups acted on the day. And put stalls up, and that was right across Scotland. We did that in partnership with the National and Scottish Independence Foundation and all those groups as well. But now what we're doing is very specifically saying, this is an area where we think independent support can go up. It's a target area. Let's go there and let's blitz that area with leaflets. Let's put multiple stalls up. And we did Perth. 50 people turned up. We distributed thousands of leaflets. It was a big success. We had a sing-song in the street. We had multiple stalls. Pensioners for Indy had a stall. Perth had a stall. We had a stall. Salvo were there. You know, so, you know, it is the movement coming together to put, you know, and if you have four or five stalls together, you can't miss them. You can't walk past.
Yeah.
We've also been so lucky with the weather. I've been sunburned on every work day and the last march and rally. So I'll have to remember to bring some Factor 30 for the next one.
It being Glasgow, we better bring our brollies as well. But,
Glasgow,
you know,
April, yeah.
Glasgow one was an absolute monsoon. Well, we were at the Linlithgow one, Scottish Independence Podcast, so those hats on, we came to film it. And the minute you got off the train, you could see the flags right the other side of the high street, which is really important. Even if somebody doesn't go up and speak to you or read a leaflet, they can see you're there. And there was I was so impressed with, when we were there, we were chatting to the people who were manning stores because everybody else was out leafleting. And there was a guy there who, on foot, I can't remember his name, you might know, Marlene, he'd injured his foot, and because he'd injured his foot, he'd fallen and injured his wrist. Yeah. So he was sitting there in a chair with one foot up, and with his good arm, he was holding a banner.
That's fabulous.
That's true.
It was Keith from Edinburgh, Pensioners for India. I was quite impressed as well, actually.
Yeah.
They're a hardy bunch, Pensioners for India.
Yeah.
One of the things I'd noticed about that is we were at the cross in Linlithgow. And for the time that I was there and not actually out delivering leaflets, every 2 minutes, a car going by beeped its horn. And,
yes, I noticed that.
It was very good, very positive vibe the whole day. And, you know, for me, that's what it's all about. Because, personally, I don't want to hear about a new policy or how we're going to do this and how we're going to do that, how many civil servants we have, all that sort of stuff. We've been talking about this for years. We need to change the atmosphere and make it more appealing to the undecideds and make it more fun for people to get out, so they're not going to turn up and listen to diatribes from a stage, but actually just say, right, you know what, I'm glad I'm here, I'm glad I went, I feel charged up, I'm going to work next weekend as well, or the weekend after when my local group puts out a stall. And it's that sort of osmosis of enthusiasm that we're trying to create.
Absolutely. And I mean, there's a group, a Pensioners for India group down in Dumfries and Galloway. And they do that. They have their stall and they have lots of leaflets. But they also have a banjo player. And she just sits and plays the banjo. And then there's another guy who plays the fiddle. And sometimes they play together. And that in itself just changes the atmosphere around it. You know, it stops, as you've been saying, you know, it stops being just a political kind of presence, if it ever was that. And it becomes something become something else. And they're very successful down in that part of Scotland. Yeah. I'm just sitting here thinking, oh, we should go to Cooper. So I grew up in Cooper, right? I suspect Cooper may not be so pro indie as some places in Scotland, so it might be quite a good one to target. And if you go to Cooper, I'm definitely coming. I'll go around our housing scheme that we lived in with the leaflets. That would be great fun.
That'd be fun. I'll come and film you.
You've seen from the videos what it looks like when like 40, 50 people in the high-vis vests leave the hubs to go and deliver. I hope we can do a lot better than that, you know, double the activity on the 21st. But I also like to think that at some point in the future, once we've really got the momentum going and people can see how effective this is, I would like to hit several towns in the borders on the same day with hundreds of people teaming up with local groups. They've figured out the routes, people jumping on buses, getting there, and blitzing entire towns, etc., and letting people know that we care about their local issues. And not just bussing people in from outside the area, but actually every team being led by a local, you know, and just helping them, supporting the locals. Seems to me like a good, fun way to do it, an effective way to do it.
Yeah. Totally. And I think there's, if you're focusing down in that area as well, the big issue for them, of course, is the border. So there's a really opportunity to put some really positive messages about what an opportunity a border is.
Yeah. And they do that. They do that themselves. Mm. I mean, we've interviewed folk who are active down in that kind of campaign, and they've got some brilliant ideas about. And the border, when you talk to them, the border stops becoming a problem and it becomes an opportunity. You know, actually kind of on both sides even. They weren't even kind of wanting all the opportunity to be on the Scottish side of the border. So maybe once we do have our general election campaign up and running later on in the year, that might be the time to try something like that, Gordon.
So yeah, just as a wee advert for that weekend, always I've mentioned the Perth event on Saturday, the afternoon of Saturday the 30th. But for that weekend, we've got the march starting at Kelvin Way at 12:30. We've got the committee rooms at 7:30 for the after party. There will be tickets going on sale for that. And then on the Sunday, we're meeting at Langside Hall, which is the base for the day for the Southside activities as well, from 10:30 a.m. to 2:30. So, you know, we've got a whole weekend of activity going on. And, you know, I would hope as many people as possible will make it along to that. And, you know, if you can't make it, it will be broadcast live as well, and we'll be doing a wee bit of fundraising in advance to try and add some extra activities under the weeks before. There may be more interesting things to be announced in the not-too-distant future.
People want more information, your website, is that the best place?
Go to our website. You can actually sign up to receive notifications from the homepage of believeinscotland.org.
People can get that information from Pensioners for Indie website as well. So we're trying to kind of keep it in sync. So yeah, I'm really looking forward to it. I'll have a wee think about what I'm going to say when I'm on the stage. But I expect, you know, a muse will descend and something will emerge.
You can practice on me. I'll give you feedback.
Really good to talk to you, Gordon.
Great.
Yeah.
Pleasure. Thanks for the invite.
You're welcome. Thank you. Okay, so thank you very much for our guest, Gordon McIntyre Kemp, and I hope that answered all your questions about the march and the days of action, anything else. We will put the link to where you can get more information, where you can get tickets that Gordon mentioned. We'll put that in the notes under this podcast. We'll also have the links to some video that we took from the various events. We had one from Linlithgow and one from the big Edinburgh March last year, and then you can have a look and see what it looks like from our perspective anyway.
From our perspective, yeah, well, we certainly enjoyed. I so enjoyed that. I mean, I do enjoy going on any of the marches, but I just somehow particularly enjoyed the one over in Edinburgh last year, probably because it was such a lovely day as well. That all helped.
And share. If you see any stuff, please share it.
Yeah, please share. It just helps. It's so important to do that. It really, really helps.
Yeah, and bring a friend. If you've got an undecided friend, bring a friend to the march. That's always a good one. They'll be very welcome. They'll have a great day.